Welcome, fair listeners, to the very first episode of Right Rings, the Right Ring podcast. My name is Greg.
And I'm Martin.
And we are two indie writers just going to be chatting about writing life and the Right Rings, as it were. And this is our first time, so, you know, be patient with us and be very, very patient with us. As the title says, we have no idea what we are doing, other than...
But at least we're excited about it.
Yes, very excited. I mean, we are just want to have fun and want to procrastinate by not writing and making a podcast about writing instead.
Because that's obviously what writers do. We spend a lot of time talking about writing, but not actually doing it.
Absolutely. Anything but writing. that's the life in a nutshell. So funny thing, I was
a lot of our time is usually spent trying to find new ways to procrastinate.
I mean, definitely, I think out of all professions, writers are the ones putting the pro in procrastination. So.
Well, in my bio on Twitter, it does actually say a professional procrastinator, I do believe.
Well, you know, but just to give what we decided, Martin and I, what we decided is that we would dedicate this first episode to kind of work out the kinks, see how the logistics of it all would come together, and give a little introduction to ourselves, because you know, we are two writers. One of us is also an author. Yay for Martin.
you have
how many books out? Two, three?
Two at the moment, yes.
Two. And the third is on the way, but we are not talking about that.
We're definitely not talking about that at this particular moment in time.
Yes, we are obviously going to put every link and whatnot in the show notes. So obviously go and buy Martin's books and subscribe to his Twitter, because he's insightful and hilarious. And you can also, you know, subscribe to my Twitter as well. That's where I do most of my writing.
Because Greg's that.
Yeah, I'm so proficient at procrastinating that yeah. But hey, I have nearly 20,000 tweets, so that's 140 characters a pop. That's, you know, that's a lot.
Well, if you put it together, you got yourself a book.
Yeah, I mean, you know, you just have to go have to be very persistent at finding the story. But
well, yeah, there's a lot of interpretation involved.
Yeah. So before we start, it's a funny thing. I was reading Twitter, and I have a couple of folks that I set notifications for. One of them is my writing hero, Joss Whedon. And he retweeted, obviously I'm not a native English speaker, so I'm sorry about that. I will let Martin do the lion's share of the talking. That's my plan anyway. So he retweeted today something. It's long, so I won't read the whole thing, but I did want to read the first two posts, and I will put the link in the show notes to the thread. So Joss retweeted Chuck Wendig, and he said that, and I quote, "There is no one way to be a writer, no one way to tell a story, no one way to do this thing we do as a hobby or as a job or as an art form. Some write a little every day in an office. Some write a lot at one time at varying sporadic points. It's all okay. I think it's important to challenge all pieces of known writing advice, all those chestnuts of vital lore, and to see what they are and what works for you. We all have our own weird fingerprints to imprint upon this thing we do. And I found it so interesting because when we started talking about this podcast, one of the reasons we wanted to do this is that we wanted to give a little insight into writing life and writing practice that's a bit different from straight up writing advice or straight up educational content like a lot of other writer shows and writery things do, which are obviously beneficial, but I think seeing how a writer thinks and acts and just seeing the process is, I think, a lot more beneficial than getting the advice of what to do, because maybe it may be great advice, but it just doesn't work for you. So what are your thoughts on that?
I think certainly what Chuck said, and I do find a lot of what Chuck says is actually very worth listening to. It kind of hits upon a very valid point. There's so much advice going around from so many different authors who all have their own individual viewpoints. There's so much advice from all of these sources. It can be difficult for new authors, new writers who are just starting out on their own particular journeys to figure out which way to do it. And certainly when you've got very well-known and well-respected authors who are issuing their own advice, people who are just starting out, they might take that as gospel almost. It's important for anybody who is starting out to understand that there really isn't any one set way to go about the writing journey. It's all about finding your own particular way of doing it and going by that. One particular piece I came across from the there's the Advice to Writers account. They as the name suggests, they publish a lot of advice for writers. And there was an interview they had. I forget who the author was with, but their piece of advice to authors was ignore the advice. And it basically means ignore all of these bits of advice, or not so much ignore all the bits of advice that are around, but just pick up on what works for you. It's more about finding the pieces of advice that you kind of resonate with and going with that particular way of doing things. And as you progress, you eventually find your own rhythm, your own flow for the writing process.
Yeah, exactly. And it's and like you said, there is a lot of advice going around, and it can be quite intimidating because writers tend to it's almost like a meme. Like you write your first draft and you're happy, and then you read your first draft and you want to quit the whole thing. Is that there's a very interesting and that's the other reason why I wanted to do a kind of different type of writing advice content is one thing that Gary Vaynerchuk said, who obviously plays in a very different space, but at the same time a very similar space, is that I'm paraphrasing that he said that people look at Beyonce today and they look at LeBron today, and they don't take into account the amount of work and the amount of hardship that went into their careers. And comparing ourselves to someone we look up to is obviously, at the same time, it's a good thing, because it's something that, hey, yeah, I want to write as well as Joss Whedon or James S. Corey or whoever. But at the same time, obviously we are not there. And yeah, it's a matter if we can document the process and the journey, that's more valuable to new people coming in, because they will see that the same people they look up to and who are successful by all measure, they face the same challenges, and they went through largely the same things. So that's kind of the aim of the podcast, and obviously just for us to have fun and get to know each other. How long have we been knowing each other? Like quote unquote
a couple of years.
Yeah, quote unquote, because obviously this is the internet age, and we haven't met face to face. Not that I recall, anyway. I remember correctly that we kind of bonded over on Twitter over the open door period at one of the publishers. I think it is Angry Robot.
Angry Robot.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the one.
Yeah, that's the one. That was
2 years ago or so, I think.
2 years? Yeah, yeah. That sounds about right.
Give or take.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, my first book would have been out 2 years this November. So, yeah.
So with that, yeah. Let's give a little introduction. So, who are you, Martin, and what do you do, and how did you, become a writer, and where do you get your ideas from?
First of all, I think it's hilarious that we're actually having our introductions about halfway through the podcast.
Well, you know, there are no rules in this dojo.
I never said the word. Anyway, my name is Martin, Martin Currell. It's a very strange surname, and I don't like trying to pronounce it. I've been trying for 34 years. I've got two books out. They are, they are vampire stories, and no, they don't sparkle. I've been writing and trying to write for about 15 years or so. Started when I was in my teens, writing just random ideas that came into my head. They were very bad at the time. Eventually, I did kind of settle on a vague concept. It's certainly around when the Underworld movies came out. They kind of helped focus the ideas that I wanted to play with. And over time, over the years, I just kept writing different iterations of this story, and eventually it kind of evolved. I got more and more feedback about it, and eventually it became the finished product of A Life in Blood, which, as I mentioned earlier, was published about 2 years ago, nearly. Well, about a year and a half as it stands. Bizarrely, as soon as I finished writing the first one, I immediately started writing the second, because I just finished writing my first book, and I was kind of riding on a bit of a high, and I was like, I've still got loads of ideas, and I've just finished the first book, which is exactly where I wanted to finish it, and now I've got more ideas. What do I do? So I just thought, sod it, I'm going to just go straight away and start writing. So I carried on. I started writing the second book, and that again evolved. I've kind of babbled a little bit. I've forgotten half of the other questions you asked me, Greg.
That's basically that's a good start. So why vampires though?
Honestly, I'm not entirely sure. I think I've always had a bit of a fascination for anything that had kind of superhuman abilities. I love superhero movies. Like yourself, I'm more of a fan of the Marvel side of things. But I don't know. I think it's just a combination of all the background and the lore of vampires, and is a very kind of dark nature to them. But I also liked the idea that even these creatures that have a very kind of dark history and a very dark mythos to them, they could actually have a very human side as well, especially those that had been turned, as they say. They were once mortal and then they get bitten and get turned into a vampire. Just the whole concept, it fascinated me, and it still does. Things like the Underworld movies and the ones based on Anne Rice's books, Interview with a Vampire, and things like that. And they just really intrigued me, set my imagination going.
Yeah, and the Anne Rice books were a huge influence on me as well. I know that you are a fellow geek in terms of tabletop games as well. You play miniatures.
Yeah,
that's right. Yeah.
Games Workshop hobbies.
Right. I was more of a pen and paper role player kind of person growing up. And I played a lot of the World of Darkness games, so vampire and werewolf and changeling and all those. I definitely see where you're coming from. Anything else that you may want to share at this point? Obviously, we will. As we look forward to a long and prosperous future with this podcast, we will learn about each of us eventually. This kind of vampire theme that carried from your teens, is it a fairly recent?
Yeah, it was kind of around my teens that I started coming into contact with these ideas and films and concepts and things, and that's when I really started to settle into the very basic original idea that became Alive in Blood. Originally it was third person, and it was radically different to what eventually got published. That's the sort of things that have kind of inspired me to write these particular books. I think one of the other things that's always fascinated me is the fact that the vampires have such an incredibly long lifespan. The amount of things they must have lived through, I found it incredibly fascinating to look at a character who's lived through centuries of different warfares and the evolution of technology and everything, and see how they would act and feel and react in the modern day. And I really find those sort of characters immensely appealing.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. I think anything that deals with something that's fundamentally human, but it's put in a much different context, whether that's, you know, like you said, the lifespan, or the ability to perceive information and the world, like in science fiction. That's endlessly fascinating to me, because it shines a light. At first, it's entertaining, obviously, but also it shines a light on how enslaved we are to our own perception and to our own limitations, whether that's personal or affecting everyone as a species. Like we don't live that long, so and I would imagine that our perception of the world, even if we discount the technology and the scientific understanding of it, would be vastly different from those who only lived 30 or 40 years lifespans. So that's
absolutely.
We kind of gone through a fair few things about myself. What about you? You, Greg? What's your? Hey, we both got to be under the spotlight here. You know, I'm not doing this by myself. So, what about you? What are your inspirations? And you've mentioned that Joss Whedon is someone you look up to and respect. And yeah, I can understand that myself. So, what sort of things do you write? And what are your main inspirations?
Well, I write mostly tweets, like mentioned. I think we are very much alike. Like I find the same idea fascinating, that putting something that's unmistakably human and putting in a very non-human context. Only I do it in a different theme, which is science fiction. I started out as a fantasy guy, and like I said, I played a lot of role playing games. And in my teens and early 20s, I was very much a fantasy guy. And along the way, I started turning to science fiction more and more, and now I'm mostly a science fiction guy. I couldn't imagine writing anything but science fiction, even if it reaches back, which it does, into the past, and into even fantasy-esque territories. I don't have any books out yet. I'm working on the first one. And it's difficult in a lot of ways. Obviously, the first book is always difficult, but also because my brain works in a way that connects everything with everything. So it's not just a way of it's not just telling a single story. It's building the entire world. And I need to kind of control that, and it's a constant struggle between going down the rabbit hole and working on something that has no effect whatsoever on the story I'm currently telling. But it's a work in progress.
That can be one of the concerns almost with the first book is you've got a lot of world building to do. You're setting the scene for the entire world that your book takes place in. Certainly with high sci-fi, so stuff like space operas and things like that, there can be even more world building to do because you're trying to explain what's going on. You're trying to explain the differences between certain races or types of characters that you've got. It's very easy to go off on tangents just explaining all these things that you want to tell people about this world you've created. How do you stop yourself going off on those sort of tangents?
I don't. I'm not sure. I try different techniques all the time, which by itself is hugely distracting because I'm always experimenting with different things and how I write. Sometimes I start kind of discovery writing. Sometimes I start writing a script according to a structure and feel the blanks in. nowadays I'm kind of in a this not necessarily discovery writing trend, but something like that. I figured I would just let go of the world building completely, and when I think of a moment, a cool character moment, or a cool scene, or something or other, I write that, save it, and yeah, just waiting for a critical mass to pile up, and then I will start organizing it together in hopefully a coherent piece. And yeah, my day job is writing as well, so I have that kind of luxury of doing this for a living. Well, not this, but I'm a freelance copywriter, so I can write all by very differently for a living as well.
It's nice work if you can get it.
Yeah. It's very unstable work and very stressful work. And but yeah, I at the same time, I'm not complaining, because, you know, that would be just
something you were saying about your particular process. It kind of highlights what you and I have talked about earlier on, actually, in that there are radically different processes, even just between you and me. So you have this process whereby you write down certain, you know, character ideas or scene ideas as you get them, and then eventually, once you've got enough, you start weaving it together into a coherent narrative and things. Whereas I will just kind of plow through what I've got as I come up with it. But as soon as I hit something that I haven't quite thought of, that's it. My brain just shuts off and it's like, nope, screw it, not doing anymore. And then I have to go off and take my mind off things. I have to, well, I try and take my mind off things, but then my brain keeps going back to the issue that I've got, and it goes, how do we solve this problem? And it keeps doing that until eventually I do take my mind off things. And then one random little thing, it'll be something I see in a TV show or a film or something that comes up in a conversation with my partner or anything like that. And then suddenly it'll just be like, that's the answer. And then I'll just be dashing off to the computer. That has happened on numerous occasions, actually.
Yeah.
And it just highlights there's a difference, a massive difference in process, even between you and me.
Yeah, and I think both of us are still trying to. I know that I do. I absolutely do try to figure out a way that's both creative and productive. Because, you know, it doesn't matter how creative I get, if at the end of the day I have nothing to show for it. But also I still want to keep that creativity. Or else, you know, what's the point? And I find that it's as opposed to, like, I appreciate writing advice very much, because it's but it has to be very specific. I follow a lot of writing advice accounts on Twitter and on Instagram and what have you. But I find that I just scroll through my feeds, and my brain just kind of ignores the things that that aren't very specifically relevant to a problem I'm having. Until I find something that actually addresses a practical problem that I can solve with it. On the other hand, having an insight into not an insight, but like this right now, talking about and thinking about the process almost as if an out-of-body experience, and trying to rationalize what I'm doing and why I'm doing it, that helps in a general way, in a more overarching session than writing advice, which addresses very specific things during the writing process.
Absolutely. It's kind of similar for me as well. It's just a matter of finding the advice that is best for you, and best for the particular situation that you've got at any given time, I suppose.
And just going back a little bit on the our inspiration and our kind of background in the creative field, I can't find the tweet right now, but I will search for it, and by the time the podcast is out, I will put it in the show notes. Is I'm a huge fan of the Expanse series, both the books and the TV show. And that's alone is I think it's worth talking about at some point on the podcast, is that how adaptation can be done in a way that satisfies like the source material and the specific medium it's on, because I think the TV series is just brilliant, and it takes huge liberties from the books, but at the same time there's a reason for it, so it's not you know, just for the sake of whatever, because you know the TV show has a certain length and only can allow a certain number of characters and so on and so forth, but obviously I'm following the creators, both the writers of the book and the writers of the writer's room of the series, and the author, one of the authors of the books, tweeted something to the effect of, somebody asked him, you know, how do you go about being a best-selling author, your work optioned for a TV series and whatnot, and he said that just develop a role-playing world, do a shitload of research, and have people read it and play in it, and wait until a novelist comes along and asks you if you want to make a book out of it. And obviously it was funny. And it was funny.
Yeah, I believe I saw that tweet actually.
And it was funny because it was true, because that's what happened. But at the same time, it kind of a light went off in my head, and I was like, "That's what I've been doing for I don't know how long." It's basically I'm building a role playing world, and so I can have a playground to play in. And that's just fascinating, because that's absolutely a legit way, and just as legit as kind of building a world as you write the story, but it kind of ends there, so it doesn't go beyond that. So it's there are vast differences between processes and just everything can work. Everything can work as long as it works for you, I think, is the
absolutely. I've heard of the Expanse series. I've not seen it myself, but I was certainly not aware that it was developed from books. I had no idea that there were even books of it. But yeah, certainly the concept of adaptations, and that is definitely a conversation we can save for another podcast, and probably next week's maybe. It's definitely worth touching on that idea.
Yeah. And we didn't really, again, we have no idea what we're doing, so we are still figuring out, so much so that we didn't even we didn't have an outline. We didn't have we had a topic, like talk about, that we don't know anything, and and just how long. So, you know, we are 30 something minutes into the podcast, and this seems a good time to say that we have no idea how long these podcasts will be. However long we'll keep talking.
About 30 to 40 minutes, I think, seems appropriate. I mean, yeah, that's about as long as we can ask people to listen to us droning on and on and on about writing things.
Indeed. But a little bit of housekeeping. So we are doing this on Anchor, which is an awesome app because it allows us to record together and just take out the friction from the whole publishing process. So it helps a lot.
It seems to have actually made the whole process really simple and smooth, doesn't it?
Yeah. When we are recording this, we have no idea how long it will take for post-production, but we have all the hopes that it won't take long because we are not audio engineers. So one of the things that Anchor does, which I think is brilliant, is that you can leave us voice messages. So you can download the Anchor app, and it's free on both iOS and Android, and find us. There is not a, it's based on people, not on shows. And I think our current arrangement is that we will both upload to our profiles the podcast. Yeah, we'll see.
We'll see how it works.
Yeah, but definitely you can leave voice messages to either of us, and we will do our best to answer it or just play it back because we love this thing.
Feedback for us is the same as feedback for authors. It's going to be essential at this stage. So any kind of feedback that anybody who does listen to us, any feedback you've got for us, we'd be glad to hear it. Whether it be topics that we can talk about, because you know we're always going to be wanting more topics to talk about, or if it's got an idea for a feature we could have in the show, or people and things we can talk about. It's great. Just give us any kind of feedback you've got. It's all helpful at this point.
Yeah. And also, you know, any specific questions you have, increases the chance that this podcast will be actually focused if you want to listen to us talking to each other for an hour and a half, that's great. Just let us know that too. And believe it or not, we have an email address, which is writerings.podcast@gmail.com. So you can drop us a line there or find us on Twitter, both individually, and we have a podcast account, because why the hell not? Again, we are...
Yes, which you surprised me with about 40 minutes ago.
Yeah, I figured, you know, hey, let's look professional, like we know what the hell we are doing.
Yes, let's at least give the pretense that we have some concept of what we're actually doing here.
Absolutely, because, you know, we are writers. We are not, we make stuff up for a living. So that's,
Yes. I think that seems a pretty decent place to try and start leading things to the end now.
Yeah, indeed. I think with that, we will say our goodbyes for now. And you can obviously find us wherever you found us now, because if you're listening to this, then you probably found us somehow. But we will be on all or most of the podcast platforms that are there. iTunes, not sure about Google Play, but iTunes and Stitcher, and I don't know what else is there. We will submit to everywhere. That's you know, SoundCloud. But if all else fails, you know, just come to Anchor. It's a great app. It's free. And yeah, follow us and let us know what you think. And we will
don't forget, we are very prolific on Twitter as well.
Yeah, definitely follow us on Twitter and, you know, say what's on your mind and we will reply or just weep.
Weep quietly into the void.
We are very professional about criticism, so let us have it.
Absolutely.
And yeah, this will be our weekly show, so we will we'll speak to you next Friday.
Indeed. And we certainly hope to talk to you there. It's a bit difficult to say see you there because obviously we're not seeing anybody.
Well, you know,
yes, we hope you will join us next week.
Yeah, but also, you know, on TV they don't see us there either. So anyway, let's not.
Well,
you know,
yes.
Let's not go down
that rabbit hole. Well, thank you all for listening, and see you next week.
Cheers.